accidents happen to everyone, even your favorite rock stars. So on this week's show, we count down the craziest, most bizarre, and even hilarious at times, stage accidents in rock. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Hard Rock and Metal Circus Edition, live on Rock Rage Radio, YouTube, and Periscope simultaneously through the magic of technology. Our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Check back often because we're always doing all kind of crazy podcasts and fun stuff there. Definitely don't want to miss any of that. A shout out to our affiliates, Rock Rage Radio. You can go to RockRageRadio.com. as well as Classic 92.3. So we are all over the place there, out there on the internet. And you can find us on Player FM, Apple Music, Spotify, all the fun and joyous places. Tonight's show is going to be all about crazy, insane stage accidents that have happened at rock and metal shows over the years. So we're going to be counting down some of our some of the most interesting ones. I don't know if we should say favorites.
Yeah, that's kind of sick.
So, and speaking of sick, we have Lily V6 in the house. Lily,
what's up?
What's going on, Lily? What's new and exciting in your life?
Over the weekend, went to two fun shows at Darien Lake in Buffalo. Friday night was Billy Idol and Bryan Adams, which was awesome, and I didn't think it was going to be awesome, but it was. And then Saturday was Smashing Pumpkins, opened by Noel Gallagher, which was basically Oasis and AFI. And unfortunately, that show was very bleak at the beginning, but as soon as Smashing Pumpkins came on, it was packed house. So,
okay,
very nice stuff.
Awesome. And guess who we got in the house?
Smashing Pumpkins fucking blows. I don't even know why people listen to that band.
Hey, Keith, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
I like Noel Gallagher. I think Noel Gallagher is a really good songwriter. I thought Oasis was hip. I don't know what. I'd have assumed that band would be more successful without his punk ass brother. But
I enjoyed it. It's just that nobody else seemed to want to come and watch it.
that's terrible. There's some. I got to be quiet. There's some people around this area, not in this house, but in this New Orleans area that I actually play in bands with that worship the punk, and they think they're fucking gods of anything, and I just don't get it. But with that
two songs,
that annoying ass voice, I can't take it, man. But anyway, I'm pretty good if you're asking. If I was any better, I probably couldn't stand it. So
nice,
that's how I rock.
And what are you drinking, Hawk?
Today I'm drinking Thunderbird.
You are not. Get the fuck out of here.
Look, there it is.
Oh, dude.
That's too much.
Well,
let me just tell you this. I'm a working musician, and last time I checked, I don't have a lot of money in my account. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start drinking cheap, and I think I'll save myself some shekels by the end of the year.
I think that's a great idea.
That is a great idea. Matter of fact, it's such a good idea that anything that requires a bag on it is right up my ass.
Is that just drinks?
It requires a bag on it.
Speaking of that, you know, it could be a few more weeks, you know, maybe gigs will pick up and I won't end up in a fucking alley, but that's a whole other thing, but go ahead. I really have a reason to drink this.
Summertime is what?
Summertime is slow here.
That's slow. Well, tonight's show is brought to you by Thunderbird, Ripple, and Knob Creek.
It had a combination of champagne, if you could afford it, and Ripple called Champipple.
Wow.
What's that from?
Sanford & Son.
Oh, that's what I thought. I want to shout out to Wolf's Customs. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson does custom guitar painting. You guys want to check him out at wolfscustoms.com. Chris is a great guy. He's been a supporter of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus for a long time now. So check him out if you are into getting some great custom work done on a on a guitar, Stratocaster, whatever you have, Tele, whatever. Get a hold of Chris at wolfscustoms.com, and he will set you up. If you go back through the
ever. You what? Know that, right?
What'd you say?
He is the number one podcast fan for this particular podcast.
He is, but yet he's not on right now.
What?
Yeah.
Chris, maybe sleeping or something. Wake his ass up.
All right, wake up, Chris.
I'm gonna summon him on a break.
So we're going to be talking about the stage accidents. We just went around the room, introduced everybody. So the first thing we're going to do before we get into all that, we're going to play the first band. And I was at Rockin' Pod in Nashville over the weekend, and I actually got to meet some of these people. And 3 Minutes to Live is a band we've played on the show before. And Brian Terry comes up to me and says, "Hi, I'm Brian from 3 Minutes to Live." I'm like, "Shit, we play you on the podcast." He's like, "I know." So I'm going to play a little bit of these guys right now. This is 3 Minutes to Live. Knock Me Down on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
We'll be right back.
3 Minutes to Live, Knock Me Down, off their album Strike the Shepherd on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Hey, guys, 3 Minutes to Live can be found by going to 3minutestolive.com, and that is the number 3 Minutes to Live. Very great, hard and heavy metal band. I always try to get at least one of those super hard and heavy ones in, just so I can keep my metal cred. You know, Lily, you know, if I feel like if I get too much bluesy stuff or whatever, you know, I'm gonna lose respect here.
I feel like you should get your butt to a metal show.
I know. I told you that one I went to a few weeks ago that was like pretty awesome. So we need to go see one. Okay, so we've got Lily V6 in the house. We've got Keith the Hawk Hawkins, who Keith is. What's the Cubs are on now? Are you watching? What are you doing? Watching the Cubs?
There's a band I want to try to turn you on to. Maybe I can hook them up. Maybe you can do an interview, whatever. Something. They're called Southern Brutality, and they're heavy as shit. And they're playing around the area, and they're like, they'll kick you in the nuts, man.
I know them.
You might have heard of them before. I see them on that. There's like a New Orleans like musicians Facebook page, and they like constantly post videos. And they're heavy as hell. I mean, it's the kind of like vocals I'm not really into, but musically, they're like slamming that.
Okay, I see a Facebook page for them, Southern Brutality. Let's take a look.
Pretty heavy shit.
NOLA metal. Yeah, like, actually, I think
some of my friends already like them.
I think they were doing a Battle of the Bands when Lou and I were actually there, but we weren't able to make it to the show because we were doing
other
stuff. Yeah, I think that's how I knew
we were
are.
Too busy day drinking.
We were too busy drinking, basically.
That's sometimes in a place like this that happens, you know.
Yeah, legit.
You got to have priorities.
Chris Thunderwolf said, "What's up, Hoxter? Thanks for the mention at all. As always, he was actually watching on Lou's page and not the Rock Rage Radio page, which is why I did not see that he was on. So now he switched back over.
Yeah, I don't know. I just threw it up on everything. Yeah. Catch, you know,
that happens all the time.
Throw a wise net there. See how many we get. If we don't mention you, it's because we're not looking at that. We're mainly monitoring the Rock Rage page. So if you have a comment." Go over to the Rock Rage page and leave your comment or ask us a question. We'd be happy to talk to you there. We're talking about the stage accidents.
Yes.
And Keith, you want to talk about this, or do you want Lily to start? Where are we starting, guys? Who's going to go first?
I always say ladies first, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Lily will kind of guide us through this one. She's our resident rock historian.
Lady.
And then Keith and I will just make smart-ass comments.
Okay. You guys are really good at that.
Would you say?
Lily, your attire tonight is very conservative.
Oh, yes. Thank you. This is...
I didn't mean it in a good way.
Okay, yeah. Bill Sturgill also said, "Damn, Lily looks all ladylike." And I also got a text from somebody watching saying I look pretty. Well, that's great. But you know what? This is sheer laziness of me not wanting to change after work. So,
there you go.
There it is.
Is that more like me? I just thought maybe you just came from Bible study or something.
I don't even know what that means. What's a Bible?
Yeah, you want to catch fire to the place, man? Come on.
Anyway.
Okay, so here we go.
So I'm going to start off with actually Frank Zappa. He actually had 2 incidents that occurred a week apart. It actually made him think that someone was out to kill him. The first was in Switzerland, December 4th, 1971. Someone from the audience fired a flare gun at the ceiling at the Montreux Casino, which burned to the ground. Zappa's equipment was lost, but he escaped the blaze safely, thank goodness.
And that incident was immortalized in what song?
Smoke on the Water, baby.
Absolutely. That's what the,
legit?
That's what the
really?
Song.
I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah. I didn't
that's
know that.
That's what
actually.
The song Smoke on the Water is about. Zappa and the mothers playing at the Grand Hotel, and somebody shot a flare gun
and
burnt the frickin' place down. And the whole thing is with pulling kids out onto the ground, that was the owner of trying to like save as many like
seriously?
Wasted teenagers as possible. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's totally autobiographical. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow. We taught Lily something. I can't believe it.
That was that lyric. Something stupid with a flare gun burned a place to the ground.
That makes sense now that I know. But
things you learn when you attend the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast. It's
all a learning experience. Well, then a week later, the band was performing in London where a fan rushed onto the stage and pushed Zappa into the concrete orchestra pit. The fall nearly killed him. He sustained a crushed larynx, fractures, head trauma, and injuries covering his entire body. The man who attacked him thought Zappa was eyeing his girlfriend. And you actually can find a video of the performance at Montreux all the way up to the sounds of the crowd panicking at the end. I watched it. It's kind of sick. But yeah, he's he had two back to back.
Wow, the Frankster.
Stage accidents.
I don't know, Keith. Do you ever have any like chicks run up or guy dudes run up on stage because they thought that you were eyeing their girlfriends?
Nah.
I did.
Did you really? Yeah, is that the one Chris is talking about?
Chris.
Christian.
No.
Because he mentioned something on the main page.
I had, this was many years ago. This is like the first band I was ever in. And we were playing at some hillbilly, we were playing at the fucking, the Tradesman Inn out on Route 40. You know where that is?
Yes, I do. I got drunk there once.
I was in this old-timey country band. It was my first gig. And I was playing bass because Tony Gianflone Jr. was playing guitar.
Tony!
And this fucking redneck was like, his girlfriend was friends with the daughter of our singer. And so we were all young.
I was really young.
So we were just all kind of hanging out and talking. And she was hot. But I didn't like, you know, I wasn't like trying to hit on her, and her boyfriend like tried to start shit with me, and I was holding a Fender Precision bass in my hand, and I'm thinking, you stupid motherfucker, if you understood the weapon that a Fender Precision bass can become, you would just like fucking just keep your goddamn mouth shut. But he was probably just drunk or whatever, but it was just one of those, like, I was really young and just completely shocked. Like, I didn't even know what to say because I was like I thought it was so bizarre, like, you know, like what the fuck,
like, what is going on?
Yeah I was like, so I don't know, man. All right, so any other comments on this one before we move on, Keith?
No, I didn't know Zappa had like that many problems, but I mean, obviously, you know, that's kind of a bummer. I mean, being a musical genius, you know, you figure you wouldn't run into that many problems. But I guess that for Frank, you know, that's maybe a day in the park, man. You know, day
no
the
money,
office.
No problems.
All right. So what do you got next, Lil?
So the next one is actually about a bass player, Chris Novoselic from Nirvana. Speaking of basses, hurting yourself. 1992 Video Music Awards. Kurt Cobain wanted to play the new song "Rate Me," but MTV said no because of the lyrics, obviously. Cobain agreed to play Lithium instead, but still began the performance with the first few bars of Rate Me just to, you know, give the MTV execs a heart attack, which is always fun. During the performance, though, Novoselic pulled his familiar stunt where he throws his bass high into the air and catching it, but this time it didn't go as planned, and it came down and landed on his head. He fell to the ground in front of the entire MTV audience and everyone watching at home. Of course, he had to be taken to the hospital. And then Cobain and Grohl took the time to destroy their equipment and taunt Axl Rose before leaving the stage. And I actually don't think I saw that one as it happened. I think I saw it a few days later. But yeah, I remember it.
So, I don't know. What should we do now? Okay, you trash your stuff and I'll trash mine. And then we'll say something about Axl Rose and that'll be the whole concert.
And that's it. And there it is.
Do you know who helped him backstage when they were like, before the paramedics got there, they needed to bandage up his head?
No.
Brian May from Queen helped him and bandaged up his head. Brian May is a gentleman.
Well, that was very nice of him. Yeah, he's, you know, British and all. They usually are.
plus, he's a friggin' astrophysicist, so he could, you know, he could like tape up your head or fly a space shuttle. It doesn't matter.
He's like MacGyver.
Yeah. He MacGyvered Chris's head back together.
Not that it needed help, but you know.
That's a pretty legendary one though. That was on my list.
Well, yeah, that is a just to sort of add to that is, you know, this isn't something that is as popular now or popular through the 90s, but a lot of 80s rock bands would do the whole, they would just change guitars. They would literally just throw the guitar and the roadie would ham another one.
Yngwie still does that.
And it was up to the guitar techs to catch the guitars. And there are stories, you know, in the business about these guys taking a guitar to the head. This is going to catch it and breaking a finger
face,
you know, but taking a guitar to the head. I mean, that's not, there was like, they'd be like, they're like, they would be, you'd have to watch, you know, and Eddie Van Halen, same thing, throws a guitar in the air, just keeps going, you know, and the techs, there's stories about the different guitar techs out there, you know, getting banged up.
I saw Yngwie three times in the last year and I watched him for the throwing of the guitar because I wanted to see if the poor guy got smacked in the face with it. Never happened though. He was good. He was good at his job.
You get you get good at it. Probably you take one or two to the head, and you probably learn.
You learn real quick.
What the hell you?
Well, you better not break one of his guitars. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Well, that was the thing. Like they were all like, whatever you do, if you take it in the head or you break a finger or whatever, the guitar doesn't hit the fucking ground.
Right.
Like, that does not happen. You know, because like, or else like you're catching a ride back to you know, Duluth or wherever you live, you know, that night. Yeah, you're done. So. Oh shit. So okay, go ahead, Lily. What else you got?
I have next on my list Keith Moon from The Who. He's responsible for one of the most famous stage fails in rock and roll television history. The 67 appearance on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. I'm gonna like go ahead and fumble every word I say. The band participated in some of their signature instrument smashing after the performance of My Generation. Moon had filled his drum kit with explosives to end the mayhem, but accidentally added too many and caused a larger explosion than intended. Legend says that the explosion is what was responsible for Pete Townsend's later hearing problems. But as we know, Moon likes his explosives as he was fond of exploding hotel toilets for sport. So that I actually watched the footage of that because obviously I didn't see that live, and it was pretty bad. So,
is that the one where Tommy Smothers comes out and smashes his guitar too?
That I didn't see. I watched it up to the point of the explosion and watched Pete like basically fall over. And I'm like, all right.
I think that they played the Smothers Brothers more than once because there's a famous video of after The Who gets done and they smash all their stuff after My Generation that Tommy Smothers comes out.
It.
Tommy Smothers comes out and with his like little acoustic guitar and smashes it to like it'll be real rock and roll. So,
oh,
have you ever had any malfunctioning pyrotechnics on stage, Keith?
No. I stay away from fire.
Do you have pyrotechnics ever, Lou?
I'm not really into that. Like, I'm not in that stage in my life where I pyrotechnics are like a big deal. I'm more like the like very low volume sort of. I've been playing like a lot of libraries lately and elevators and stuff. So
libraries.
This point, pyrotechnics would be a bad idea. When I get into my arena rock phase, I will let you know, and I think that I would want to burn a motherfucker down or two.
All right.
Can I be in charge of the pyro?
No, you'll burn us down.
Damn it!
I had I've played with minor little bit of pyro here and there, but it was nothing ever crazy happened.
I do know that one time at one of our favorite old school watering holes that we've all been through, so I think that Black Sabbath tribute band set the mousetrap on fire one time.
Oh my gosh! Not the trap. Yeah.
They had a little bit of flameage going on there, and I was sick that day. I was going to go out and see them. And they set the place, not ablaze, but there was a fire.
We're going to come back and talk about more, speaking of fire and blazes, we're going to come back and talk about a little bit more cool stuff like that. But right now, I got to meet these guys this weekend. There's another band I got to meet. This is Pump 5. Check them out. Lou Dini, Rock and Roll Circus.
Feeling
That is Pump 5. Steve Barnett on guitar and vocals there. Got to meet Steve this weekend. Cool dude, great band. Think the record sounds freaking awesome. I believe, yeah. Anyways, very cool. Let me go ahead and give you guys the webby site. And that is Pump 5 Band. And Pump, the number 5, there's no space, pump5band.com is you can find out all the information about those guys. They're going to be doing some select shows coming up. We open the show with 3 minutes to live. We're going to be jamming out to some Land Divided in a little bit here. This Land Divided is a great rock band with a little more of a alternative sound to them. I met those guys as well. Rockin' Pod 2019 was just absolutely, like, really, really cool. I was telling Lily while the music was playing that there was a great show the night before with the Nashville Rock and Roll Residency, and these guys have all been in tons of bands. They live in Nashville, but they're rockers who gone out on tour with, like, you name it, and just three great lead guitar players. Everybody sang harmonies, Six Ways to Pittsburgh, like, all night long. Killer drummer. Everything about it was just absolutely. And they brought up different guests to sing with them. Like, they brought up Michael Sweet to do a couple songs. They had Tony Harnell from TNT came up and did a couple songs. Jack Gibson from Exodus came up and played bass on a couple of tracks. I was just partying my ass off, and there's a lot of cool video, and I posted some of it in the group, so you guys can check that out. But it was a great time, and a big shout out to Chris who put that thing on, because it was, I could tell, it was a lot of work. He kept his head even though there were problems. I would not have been able to be as cool. I was like, yeah, I would be freaking out, but it was very good. And a special shout out to my podcast mentor David Hooper for coming out and supporting me when I did my talk on live video podcasting. And it was very cool. A lot of people had a lot of questions, and I felt really excited to be able to help people out with that. All the panelists were great. It was a lot of fun, and you should go next year, everybody. Okay, so we are talking about mishaps on stage. Real quick, though, guys, you are listening to Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus, and I posted a link in the comments to some merch. So if you go to Bandcamp, lulombardi.bandcamp.com/merch. There's a store there where you can get some cool Ludini swag. You guys can check that out. And we're going to be going live in my private group in a little bit here to celebrate the life of Janie Lane. So we'll talk about that later. But anyways, rock and roll mishaps. Lily.
Yes.
Speaking of mishap.
Mishap. Zing.
Sorry. Thanks. I'll be here all week.
Or the rest of the
Try
evening.
The deal.
Anyway, so the next on my list is actually Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, one of my most favorite bands ever. My favorite band ever, actually. He suffered injuries performing the song Love in an Elevator twice. The first incident occurred on August 6, 2009. That actually made me miss the ZZ Top Aerosmith show in Miami because he fell off the stage right before that. He danced off the stage suffering neck, head, and shoulder injuries.
Danced
right off the stage, as smooth as he is. The second incident happened only a little over a year later when Tyler was performing the same song at a performance on August 17th, 2010. After giving a playful shove to guitarist Joe Perry, Perry shoved him back a little too hard. I mean, he's a little guy, you know, sent him flying off the stage like a little aeroplane.
Steve Tyler's a little guy?
He's a little guy.
How tall is he?
I mean, I think he's my height and super skinny.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
To me, they're all larger than life, so I just assumed he was tall. To me, everybody's tall.
Yeah, legit.
You know, I'm part hobbit, part Lilliputian.
You're not a hobbit. Stop yourself.
Probably Frodo Dini.
You're such an ass.
Lily, what's your name again? Keith. What's going on, Keith? Keith, are we keeping you from something? What's going on? You're looking off to the right there. What's going on? What? Come on, are you watching porn or something? What's going on?
Mm.
We can't see your hands. We don't know what you're doing.
I'm listening, man. I'm just listening, you know. That's all. I mean, I hear everything you're saying.
How's that bottle of Ripple?
It's going down smooth.
Oh,
crap. All right, what else you got, Lilster?
Next one on my list is James Hetfield of Metallica.
Yes. Is this the It's, with the pyro?
Yeah. Pyro, since we talked about pyro.
Pyro, man!
Obviously, lead vocalist and rhythm guitarist of Metallica. August 8th, 1992, on the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour. Before the show, the pyrotech told the band that the pyro is going to be on the outside wings of the stage during the song Fade to Black. He failed to inform the band that this is in addition to the already placed pyro on the stage. During the song Fade to Black, when Kirk was playing the intro solo, the pyro got James and severely burned him. A big colored flame goes up right under him. And Kirk said he could literally see James' skin bubbling from the burn. He was like totally in shock. If you watch the behind the music, they explain that whole thing. But it was so bad that they had to cut off his rings and bracelets and anything else that was on his hands because it was all melting to his skin. So gross.
You know, if I don't know if you ever realize this, Lily.
I don't. If it's a
but
guitar playing.
But if Kermit the Frog.
Why we got to talk about
and
Kermit?
And Miss Piggy got married, and James Hetfield presided over.
I really hate you. I saw this.
James Hetfield would be a pastor of Muppets. I didn't know if you realized that.
Pastor of puppets.
Pastor of Muppets.
Smarty pants.
Pastor of Muppets.
That's funny. You're
he
screwed
would be
up.
A pastor of Muppets. Hey, Keith, did you know that Marie Osmond wet herself on stage?
So did what? Fergie from Bad Bees.
What?
You ever see the video of Fergie, Sarah Ferguson, or whatever the fuck her name is, from Black Eyed Peas? She pissed herself on stage too.
Well, yeah, so did
Fergalicious.
Yeah, so did Marie Osmond in 2012. It was one of these cruise ship things, and she had a bladder control mishap after an unknown question from a fan sent her into fits of giggles. So apparently,
I can actually feel for those people because every Friday from 3 to 5:30 when I play my BMC gig. The dude, like the club owner, doesn't want us to take a break, and I feel like I want to piss myself sometimes.
Just keep a jug back there. You have an aimer. You could do that.
No, but you know what I do is I like tell him I have to go put money in the parking meter, and then I go outside. Which is actually true, and then I make the keyboard player will sing like Rocket Man. It's some like solo Elton John shit, and I go and
you have a break.
Take a piss, and I'll go outside and look around. And
well, I used to do that when we used to play The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson because there wasn't like a lot of guitar in it. No. It wasn't that one. It was the Madonna song. Respect Yourself. There was one of those songs like that. It's virtually no guitar. So I would put the guitar. What?
Probably most of her songs, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would go out and that would be my chance. If I didn't catch it on break, I'd run out and. You know, I mean, if you're drinking a lot, you end up peeing more. You know, it's just one of those things.
That's why I'm glad I'm just an MC. I can run for breaks as much as I want to. I'm 2 seconds on the stage.
You are not.
Am
not.
Am too.
So, so Marie Osmond pissed herself and James Hetfield got burnt by pyro.
But he's still playing, so it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't die as...
Nah.
As some other artists had problems.
Do you want me to do that one?
Yeah.
Because
well,
that's on my list.
Do you
want
to keep talking about pyro? Because we could get into
I have the other
situation with Great White.
I have that on my list. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do another pyro one. So Great White, February 20, 2003. Pyrotechnics ignited soundproof insulation, causing a fire that killed 100 people at a Great White concert in West Warwick, Rhode Island. Including the band's guitarist, Longley. More than 200 additional concert goers suffered smoke inhalation, burns, and other injuries. Daniel, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, Bichelle, was sentenced to 10 years for involuntary manslaughter and was paroled in 2008. He was the manager at the time. And the club owner faced additional charges, and the band were deeply affected by the events of the night, especially lead singer. So, yeah, that sucked. And I was afraid to see Great White after that, but I finally did see them.
Oh, that's like a one in a million
no,
kind
I know.
Of thing that would
but
happen.
But you think about
like,
that thing. You don't want to get on a plane after September 11th.
I did, next day.
On September 11th the next year, actually.
I think, fuck it.
Never live your life in fear. I went on a plane the next day. I actually went on a plane that wasn't supposed to be in the air on September 11th.
You did not. You're so foolish.
Just like Billy Altman was at the Foo Fighters concert in Sweden. That's the whole other thing.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of Billy Altman, who's
not
watching? Let's give
somewhere.
Speaking of Billy Altman,
he listens.
He's not on right now.
When I gave, I just needed to tell you guys, when I gave my presentation at Rockin' Pod, I did a PowerPoint with a lot of photos, and I had photos of you guys. But I also had one slide where I showed our super fans. And I had Billy Altman, and I told the story about how we say, go to bed, Billy. And now other fans are telling Billy to go to bed. And everybody loved the show.
That's hysterical.
So, Billy, you are a hero.
You're a fan.
We love you, Billy.
You're a celebrity now.
Billy, don't go to bed. Don't be a fool with your life.
Anyway. Have another drink, Lou.
Oh, sugar.
So, Billy, tell us how that 77 tour with friggin' ABBA in Sweden was, because I really want to know. What are you roadie for that?
I mean, I wasn't born yet.
Neither was Billy, but he would probably tell you.
He was there. We have got watching Eric Nesbitt, Josh Montadoro, Terry Ellis Ketlow. Sorry if I screw your name up. Mike Eichert. Bands and Breakfast said, hey guys, hope you're doing well. Todd Stewart, Joe Hippie told a joke. How do you tell a blind man and a nudist colony? The answer is, it ain't hard. Michael Davis, Danny Pulliard, Redson Webster, Bill Sturgill, Jason Sapienza, Michael Homziak, Chris Thunderwolf Dotson of Wolf's Customs. Shock Frenzy is a band I went to see opening for. I forget now. Sorry. My brain's not working, but they were awesome.
Send me some music, Shock Frenzy, and we'll promote you guys.
Charlie Doyle is watching.
Charlie, how are you?
Scott O'Hara. And that's all we got right now.
Okay. And we're going to get to, because we had some fans.
We had some fans do some personal injuries about.
So we have some fans that chimed in this week as well. So we're going to get to them in a few minutes. But this sounds like a good time. That sounds like a good time to play another song. Okay. So this is Land Divided. If They Only Knew. On the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Come on, the loss of keeping true the way. If they only knew.
that's a little bit of Land Divided on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Great band. Got to meet those guys this weekend. They approached me. They came up to my table and they said, I heard that you promote guitar-driven rock. And I said, you heard right. We want to meet you.
Correct, sir.
I'm like, well, you're meeting me right now. They were really cool, young, like really young folks. Landdivided.com is a website.
I'll have to check them out.
They were just really, really cool dudes. Young guys. I'm like, you guys play like what kind of? I said, it is rock. No. It is. I listened to their record today, it's just really exciting to see younger guys like wanting to play real rock and roll. Mm-hmm. They're all about the rock and roll. I also got to meet a band. We're not playing tonight, but I'll get them on soon. A band called Kato.
Okay.
From Australia. Mm. And I was talking to their singer and I said, you know, how did you discover rock? And you're going to, this is like, I've heard every story, but I did not expect this to come out of this guy's mouth. He says that his parents gave him a bunch of records. And he said the first one he put on was Styx Paradise Theater.
Oh, wow.
And he was blown away and he never looked back.
Huh. Well, that's
so
cool.
So all the people that poo-poo Styx.
I occasionally do, but secretly I like them.
So it was very cool. I met Roxy Blue, which is a band mm-hmm. that was like, you know, kind of, you know, those guys kind of had a little bit of a sad story. They were, you know, they broke just as that whole 80s rock thing was kind of
right.
dying down. And so they were kind of like a casualty of that, you
yeah.
know. Great band, though. They did perform an acoustic set during the day there at 2019 Rockin' Pod. And great guys, and I got to meet those guys. Their singer, Todd, he was completely out of his mind for a Ludini mug. He kept on telling me, that's a nice mug. That's not, he says, well, I give me a sticker and I'll just put one on a mug. And he kept on saying, I said, here's a fucking mug.
Just take the damn
take
mug.
Take the goddamn mug. So
take the mug, sir.
So, but it was a lot of fun. So you'll be hearing more about that. I have, I recorded some interviews. Hopefully they came out okay. And I can share them with you guys soon. So Keith, I don't know what Keith is doing right now. Keith has, oh, there he is.
He's hiding. He doesn't want to join in the fun.
He's hiding. So, Keith, how was your weekend, brother?
Wet.
Oh, my. Not as wet as Marie Osmond's, I bet.
It rains a lot here, man. It rains, and it rains some more, and then when it doesn't rain, I cut the grass.
Bless the rains down in NOLA.
Have you ever been to Nashville?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a quiet, subdued.
You're hysterical,
and
buddy.
Like I went, and it was like crazy. I mean, it was like a block, but the streets blocked off. People ever clubs. It was like, you know, you see in the movies where people are like, you know, they're like turning people down to get in a club if they don't look cool enough.
Louisville's
like
that too.
It was exactly like that. I'm like, what? It was crazy.
Louisville's like
the
that.
Place to stay
Austin's
up until 5 o'clock
that.
In the fucking morning. It was insane. Mm-hmm. I never saw that.
That's what I said. Austin, when we went. We were they're supposed to be there for work. Of course, that didn't really last very long. We went to clubs, no cover for any band, and it was penny well drinks. I'm talking 1 penny. We got drunk on 10 cents.
Keith, we gotta go to Austin, brother.
That's
we gotta leave the wives at home. Go to Austin.
Get some good barbecue.
Definitely on my bucket list. I've been to Nashville once, and it took me 3 days. I was there 3 days. On the third day, I finally found a rock band, but Broadway is amazing, and it's like, you know, it's definitely for the country people, but I did see a good couple good cover bands there. I did Fear. You remember Fear, the punk band?
Yeah.
They were playing at some shitty club on the west side of Nashville. I seen them for, like, no money. They had a cool opening act, and then I seen another, like, power trio. It was almost like a heavy, bluesy Government Mule type band. That was playing. I couldn't remember the name of it. They were cool. The only place I remember about, only thing I remember about that club is the ceiling was leaking, and they had to put a bucket in front of the thing.
Well, I sent you I tagged you in a photo that I posted. The house band at BB King's, dude, you would have loved. They were like the soulful R&B act, dude. That were just they were dynamite. Just they totally had their shit. And okay, well, we're gonna go right. We're gonna finish up our talk on rock and roll mishaps in 1 second. But I gotta tell you something, guys. Something really funny. I drive 8 hours to Nashville, right? I go to BB King's and I walk in, and the song that is playing is play that funky music.
Nice.
Which is by a Pittsburgh band.
Right. Well, that was destiny. You had to be in that club at
it
that
was
particular
too cool.
time.
So Lil, what do we got? Let's we're going to wrap this up and we're going to get out of here because we got more partying to do.
Well, right? I'm going to do the little sad one real quick. So Dimebag Darrell of Pantera.
Sad eyes. Perhaps the other way.
The only rock star to die on stage. Guitarist Dimebag Darrell, Pantera guitarist, was shot by a deranged fan during a performance of his latest project, Damage Plan, on December 8th, 2004, at a nightclub in Columbus, Ohio. The 25-year-old murderer, Nathan Gale, was shot and killed by police shortly after the incident. Gale also shot and killed a fan in the audience, a crew member, and a nightclub owner before the mayhem was over. So super sad that we lost.
And did you ever hear the explanation?
I did not.
I have heard, and I don't know if this is true, that this guy was he was a huge Pantera fan, and he was deeply pissed that he blamed Dimebag for breaking up Pantera.
Wow.
And,
all right.
And forming Damage Plan.
Calm down.
So, yeah. So, I mean, look, guys, I'm a rock fan, too, and I know a lot of you guys out there are, like, diehard, but shooting somebody,
that's a little outrageous.
You're taking it too far.
That's a little outrageous.
You might want to get some counseling if you're feeling that way, you know. You know, you get some counseling. You need old counseling and all that.
I mean,
do you remember when that happened, Keith? You remember when Dimebag got offed?
Yeah, definitely. You know, lives in that whole like terrible. Why the hell did that happen? Kind of thing. It was probably surreal for everybody that was
strange.
There. Yeah. Not to compare it to, like, you know, I think Dimebag did die right there. Nick Menza from Megadeth also wasn't shot on stage, but he did collapse after a set. I think it was at the Baked Potato, which I've been to. It's a very small club, more of a jazz club.
Yeah.
In LA. Nick Menza's, I think it was the band he was in after Megadeth, or when he was still in Megadeth. I think it was after Megadeth. He collapsed right there, and he was taken to the hospital, but I think he died on the way to the hospital. So not on stage, but he died literally after playing a set on stage. So that was another terrible thing that happened for another great metal drummer, and just very tragic end, you know?
Yeah.
The whole Dimebag thing, I never get. I mean, I've seen videos of it umpteen times, and I just don't really understand what goes through people's heads. But at the same time, it's the same logic that goes into, not to bring up all the bullshit that's going on, it's the same logic that goes into any fucking asshole that
Anyone that shoots up any place.
No, they're kooky. They're just kooky.
You want to shoot somebody because they're black or Mexican, or because a band broke up, you're a fucking idiot. You probably need to stick the gun in your own mouth. That's a PSA from Keith Hawkins, not nobody else.
All right. And on that happy note, what else you got, Lily?
So the next one is Bret Michaels of Poison. He was actually injured during his opening performance at the 63 annual Tony Awards on June
7, 2009. The Tonys! Oh, my! He probably slipped on something. Oh, no!
As he was ending his performance with Poison and exiting the stage, rear.
Poison played the Tonys. Death figures.
a substantial portion of the descending set struck him on the head and knocked him down, which I don't know if anybody actually saw that, but I did. And I was watching the Tonys with a couple of people. I swear to God, I was the only person who saw it.
What the hell were you watching the Tonys for?
I'm taking
back your rock
card. I can't explain this on the air without being
Your rock card is about to be revoked.
Oh, get out of my face. The initial injuries reported that it was a broken nose. Then later he had a hemorrhage incident in 2010, prompted him to sue the Tonys for unspecified damages, claiming the incident caused the hemorrhage. Sure, why not? Anyway, I was watching it with some homosexual men who wanted to watch the Tonys. But I swear to God, I was the only person who saw it. I'm like, he goes down.
Are you,
like,
one of these girls that have, like, gay guy friends?
Yes,
like,
I have a lot of gay guy
so
friends.
So that way can be, like, safe, you know, they're not going to, like, make any
Actually, in fact, my Austin story includes me. I was married at the time, and I went to Austin with two coworkers. One of them was gay. I said, can you pretend to be my boyfriend all night so nobody hits on me? He starts talking about Sex in the City. I said, well, this is Dover. This isn't going to work now. And I end up getting, like, six numbers that night.
Well, these things happen. What else you got? You got a couple more before we wrap up?
I have Meatloaf. He has had many accidents on stage, but the one I'm going to talk about is the most recent one. He's 71 now. He's an old man. He was in Texas on May 4th, 2019 for a fan event during a Q&A session for the 2019 Texas Frightmare Weekend. He made his way across the stage. He got caught up on some loose wires. He lost his balance, took a hard fall. He broke his collarbone. And while the fans were watching in horror, he's holding onto the microphone, thanking them for coming as he's falling. And, of course, he ended up in the hospital.
That's rock and roll. Didn't Ozzy fall out of bed or something and break a hip?
I don't know about that. Maybe.
He was recovering from some some flu. And then he had some kind of bad motorcycle accident, but that's what, this wasn't on stage. But so
Meatloaf just falls all the time. He's
any final ones we want to go with? Any big ones you want to?
Do you want to do the Dave Grohl one that Billy Altman Dave was Grohl. At? So this is the one Billy Altman was at, apparently, June 2015 at the Ulevi Festival in Sweden. The band was performing their second song. Grohl tripped and fell off the stage. In footage of the incident, Grohl can be heard saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, I think it just broke my leg." Pledges to return to complete the gig. He returned to the stage 15 minutes later, where he continued to play while a paramedic tended to him. So, like, really more insane was the coming back to the stage than the actual accident itself. I mean, like, that's dedication.
Everybody, I continue to hear one story after another about Dave Grohl where he just turns out to be the coolest.
He seems like the coolest
Eddie Trunk tells this story about them holding some fundraiser at some park, like in San Francisco or something. And like there's not nearly as many people they were hoping and stuff like that. And Dave Grohl happens to be walking by. He's on his way back from the grocery store with milk or something for his kids. And he runs into Eddie and he's like, "What's going on here?" And he's like, "Oh, we're trying to do this fundraiser." He says, "We try to get bigger names in here." And like Dave's like, "Well, can I help?" He's like, "Do you want to play?" And Eddie's like, "Yeah." Or he's like, "Yeah, we want you to play." And so he says, "Let me go home and give the milk to my kids, and I'll be back with my drumsticks in an hour."
That's too much.
So he came back and he played with all these kind of like, you know, mid-level rockers, and like a bunch of people ended up showing up and ended up being a big success. And they invited him back next year to like put together whatever band he wanted. So I hear these like, so there must be something to this Dave Grohl as a cool guy.
He probably kind of thing is. Going on. I could see that. Yeah. He seems like a nice dude.
He's cool. I'm sure he's real cool. Go ask Will Goldsmith how cool he is, Brent.
Okay, let's go ahead and run down a couple of things that people have posted on our post this week on Facebook. Barb Hilajewski says Manson at Stage AE 2017, he fell down, she says, in quotes, broke his ankle on stage.
He often has injuries, okay. So he can cut his set short.
Mark Andre Latour said he was at that show in 92 in Montreal where James Hetfield got burned.
Wow.
And then there was a GNR
riot.
Yeah,
the GNR riot. Yeah. I know that. Yeah.
James Conway says, "Please let me know when something happens to Gene Simmons."
Wow. He burns his hair. He burns his hair a lot, actually.
And then Bobby Lamond posted a thing of Gene Simmons falling on stage. And James is like, "Thanks, love it." Jeff Gardner says Tommy Lee in Hartford, he fell out of the original drum cage when it spun upside down. John Fox says he saw Poison warm up for David Lee Roth at the arena in 86. Forgot what song it was, but CC DeVille tripped over his own 2 feet and then stumbled across the stage. Matthew Paul Bazilla says Bon Jovi falling on his ass in Binghamton. With Rat. Good. I guess they were playing with a show
glad
with Rat.
Glad he fell.
Billy Altman says, "I was at the Foo Fighters concert in Sweden where Dave Grohl broke his leg."
There's a whole story after that.
Okay. Scott Bishop says, "I've seen
with Washington's troops at Valley Forge, it was cold as shit."
Scott Bish says, "I've seen Fat Mike from NoFX projectile puke on a security guard. Does that count?"
Hot.
Austin Kritzer says, "I played lead in a band back in high school. I was 16, and my parents had to escort me around bars since I was underage, where we were a terrible band, played nothing but covers." Where are we going with this?
Oh, my goodness.
Austin?
There's a whole thing.
One by Metallica every show and would always throw it together. Okay. Austin, it's a little long. Thank you for posting, but we will maybe check that out later. Keith Painter says, "I saw Chris Wood of Traffic fall off stage at the Civic Arena." Yeah, first he was there, then he wasn't. Christian Bluski says, "Yeah, you at the Hard Rock when we were playing." Yeah, I had a stage mishap at the Hard Rock. You guys want to hear about mine?
I want to hear it later.
I was playing a gig with Alice Cooper tribute band at Fright Fest, fell down Station Square.
Oh, man.
Station Scare. That was Ken Kovac. Tim Claudi says, "Back in 78, I saw Yes in the round. A dude ran up on stage and gave John Anderson a big hug. Then about 15 security guys came out of nowhere and pummeled him."
Ken, I think I actually remember that.
I saw one, and this was so awesome. This goes to show you what a badass Michael Hutchence was.
Oh.
They were, I don't know what song they played. This was Assyria Mosque. This, he was so good. He was, it's so sad. He was an awesome front man. Probably the best front man I ever went to physically saw. And he's on one side of stage. He's like, you know, he was kind of a, you know, sexy kind of dude. And all of a sudden he was vanished. He was gone. Nobody could, and the band all of a sudden they're playing the song and they're like vamping on this one like chord and they're looking at each other like, what's going
on?
What happens? And that was on, this was stage right. All of a sudden, all the way over on stage left, you see this guy crawling up onto the stage. No shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Right shoe ripped off, pants ripped halfway down, and it's Michael Hutchins, hair missing.
Oh no.
He's like, he stops the thing. He's like, he says, I know we're all having a good time, but you need to calm down. He got dragged into the audience.
Wow.
They pulled him down. We love you. Oh, it was so cool. I was like, felt like I was involved in a moment. It was really, really cool. So, all right. Any final thoughts before we rock and roll on out of here?
Just check out my show, Hot Licks with Lily Six, on Rock Rage Radio, Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can download the app or just go to rockrageradio.com. And Lou's having a seizure.
Thanks to Rock Rage Radio and Classic 92.3 for being affiliates for us. Thanks to Wolf's Customs for being our sponsor. We love you. Wolfscustoms.com. Check them out. Keith the Hawk Hawkins, who's beating off or something? What?
Oh, he went away.
You back?
What are you talking about?
Every once in a while, it sounds like you're beating off. We get this weird sound coming through your thing. Anything you want to say? Any parting thoughts, parting shots before we get out of here, Keith?
You give me 5 more seconds, I'll be on my parting shot.
All right. In 5 seconds, he'll be on his parting shot. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. If you'd like to continue the party, please go to lulombardirocks.com. We're going to be popping over there to hang out for a little bit and party with the fans and tell some more interesting stories. The stuff that we couldn't do on the air. And you know how crazy we get, so that's got to be really bad shit.
I'm in a dress, though. I'm a lady today.
So it can't get too crazy. You heard 3 Minutes to Live. They opened the show, 3minutestolive.com. We jammed out with some Pump 5. Go to pump5band.com. And we had a little Land Divided. You want to go to landdivided.com. All great bands. Really appreciate them being a part of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast. All right, guys, thanks so much. Our website's LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, and we will catch you guys all next time. Have a great week, and we will see you soon. If you want to keep hanging out, go to LouLombardiRocks.com. Take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
All these unwashed friends, dirty streets, broken lights with burned out basement chairs. It's not the place that I call home, it's just a place that I know well. Bloody knees, stain the floor on the church on Haunted Hill. While specters of my past, they return to drink their fill. And in my time of dying, led to the gallows pole. She kissed my lips and spoke those magic words that made me whole. Let me talk to Jesus. Yeah.